Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're talking about the ship that recently got stuck on the Suez Canal. Here's what you need to know. One of the greatest engineering feats of the 19th century, planning for the Suez Canal officially began in 1854. Ferdinand de Lesseps, a former French diplomat, negotiated an agreement with the Egyptian viceroy to build the canal which would connect the Mediterranean and Red Seas. Though it belonged to Egypt, it was the Suez Canal Company, started in 1856 and largely owned by the French, that was granted the right to operate the canal for 99 years after its completion. Construction for the man-made 120-mile-long canal started in 1859. At first, digging was done by hand using forced laborers. Later, machinery was brought in to finish the job, but labor disputes and cholera outbreaks put construction behind schedule. It wasn't until November of 1869, 15 years after its inception, that the Suez Canal opened for business. The canal increased the ease of global trade, allowing for ships to cut through the Isthmus of Suez in northern Egypt. This meant that ships no longer had to circumvent the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa. The Suez Canal proved to be extremely valuable to international trade, especially with the oil sector, which has many of its oil producers in the Middle East. In 1875, Egypt was plagued by financial troubles and sold its stake in the canal to the British government. After World War II, Egypt evacuated British troops from the Suez Canal zone, and in 1956, nationalized it, hoping to charge tolls that would fund a large dam on the Nile River. The move angered Israel, France, and Britain, and the countries invaded Egypt in an attempt to seize control of the waterway. but their forces later withdrew at the urgency of the United States and the United Nations. In 2015, the canal underwent a costly renovation. The $8.5 million expansion provided ships with a 22-mile channel parallel to the newly deepened main waterway that allowed for two-way traffic along parts of the canal. The Egyptian government hoped that the new Suez Canal would boost traffic and help earn more income. But things came to a screeching halt on March 23, 2021. At 5:40 a.m., the Ever Given container ship became stuck. Heavy winds battered the cargo ship during a sandstorm, and experts theorized that the large number of containers it was carrying may have acted as a sail, pushing it off course. The Ever Given, which was built in 2018, is nearly a quarter mile long and weighs 220,000 tons. It is among the largest cargo ships in the world and can carry up to 20,000 containers at a time. Typically, about 50 ships pass through the Suez Canal on average each day, and navigation through it is a carefully planned operation. A spokesperson for the Suez Canal Authority said that the two pilots who assisted the Ever Given were extremely experienced, placing the blame on the boat's captain, whom they say is responsible for the safety of the ship. The Ever Given had gotten stuck near the canal's southern entrance on a one-lane section just 984 feet wide. For comparison, the Ever Given is 193 feet wide. The ship's ends were pushed sideways, wedging itself into both banks of the waterway and creating a massive traffic jam.
The world's biggest shipping firms face a major gamble this weekend over whether to risk waiting for the Suez Canal to reopen. As new satellite images show, the global thoroughfare remains blocked by a massive cargo ship, and the cost to trade is adding up fast.
More than 360 ships carrying everything from cars to oil to grain were unable to pass through the canal and were forced to wait outside its entrances. And that number kept growing. An additional 300 ships were said to have been en route to the canal when the Ever Given got stuck. The setback cost billions of dollars in delayed shipments, and some ships had to choose to divert to the African route. Teams were brought in from around the world to figure out how to move the Ever Given. Salvage crews used dredgers, powerful excavating machinery, to remove literal tons of sand from the ship's hull, while tugboats attempted to pull the ship away from the banks. After six grueling days, crews finally freed the Ever Given, with little help from a full moon. With rising waters due to the spring tide, an unusually high tide that occurs in the spring when the moon is full, crews were able to dislodge the boat. Finally, cargo ships stuck on both sides were able to continue their passage, but the six-day delay rocked the global shipping economy, reminding everyone just how fragile it can really be. Fun Facts, aka Death Stats. History.com states that the origins of the Suez Canal date back to ancient Egypt. Egyptian pharaoh Senusret III may have built an early canal connecting the Red Sea and the Nile River around 1850 BC. The canal was supposedly finished in the 3rd century BC during the Ptolemaic dynasty, and many historical figures, including Cleopatra, may have traveled on it. During the building of the Suez Canal, there were 120,000 deaths among its 1.5 million workers during the 11-year excavation process. The Ever Given is 1,312 feet long, exactly the maximum length permitted in the canal. Larger than the Eiffel Tower, the ship would take up much of the space in Washington's tidal basin. The Ever Given had previously been to ports in China before heading toward Rotterdam in the Netherlands. It is estimated that about 13% of world trade passes through the Suez Canal. Ships that opted to take an alternative route around Africa and the Cape of Good Hope faced lengthy delays, adding as many as 15 days to their journey. Lloyd's List calculated that the blockage cost $400 million an hour. According to the BBC, a rumor was spread that Egypt's first female ship's captain was to blame. She was not involved in any way. With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Alarmy.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hello, everyone.
And our very special guest is our friend Renee Felice Smith.
Hey, guys.
Now, Renee is a star of NCIS Los Angeles and now published author. Tell our listeners a little bit about your new picture book, Hugo and the Impossible Thing.
Heyo. So, yeah, somehow we wrote a book about our incredible miracle pup who did the impossible thing. He beat an illness that nearly everyone told us was impossible for him to beat. And then we wrote a children's book about it because, hey, we had to get the message out and spread the good word about Hugo. And yeah, it's out and about. It's in basically everywhere you can buy a book, you can buy Hugo, which is like pinch me kind of ridiculous, but yeah.
That is really exciting.
I usually go to an online retailer called Amazon.com to get my book. They sell books and they sell all other stuff too.
They do have that sort of thing there, don't they? But yeah, Amazon is a place, but also your local indie bookstore is a place because, you know, we got to support those guys. And yeah, Barnes & Noble is a place. There are lots of places.
That's right. Well, nowadays, Barnes & Noble is like back to being indie, right? We got to save Barnes & Noble?
Exactly.
Is Barnes & Noble the little guy?
Yes, somehow that happened. But it's pretty cool to see it out in the world. We just had some really fun Insta stories by a teacher in Portugal who like designed a whole lesson around Hugo. So it's just like, what is happening? This is so cool to see kind of just the way it is evolving.
But well, Renee, now join us. You know, we're now a part of a group of educators. You know, the alarmist is educating. Hugo is now educating. Welcome.
I am on board.
What a perfect transition.
I did it. Yay.
Now, our research assistant, Mullen, found this quote talking about the boat that she said, you know, really summed up the whole show, and she got a real kick out of it. And it's from the Secretary General of the International Chamber of Shipping that says, "I suspect that we will find that this was a complex series of events."
So. Scratch his chin. This is a good long chin scratcher. Okay, I can't wait. Let's dig in.
So first, let's start talking about how the canal works. According to The Guardian, this is how it works. Ships anchor the night before and wait to set off early the following morning. They meet each other at Great Bitter Lake, interesting name, where the southbound convoy anchors to let the others pass. Consider a country lane with passing spots, only for ships the height of buildings, traveling at the speed of a scooter.
Oh my God.
So there are convoys because for much of its 120-mile length, the canal is narrow. A two-way system was constructed at great expense by Egypt in 2015, shortening the southbound convoy transit to 11 hours, but it only runs for 22 miles. For the rest of the passage, the ships must travel single file down a very slim route. Other ships have got into trouble in the Suez. The OOCL Japan lost its steering in 2017 and hit the bank. It destroyed some road and a passing car and was freed in several hours.
God, yep. A road and a car?
The Russian oil tanker Tropico Brilliance closed the canal for 3 days by getting similarly wedged after a technical problem. So it's happened before. It's not common, but it can happen.
I get why it can happen. I was raised on the water, the Great South Bay. My grandfather was a boater forever, and I actually had my boater's license at 14 years old.
What?
Yeah, so I can put myself in this, you know, what was it? The Evergreen?
Ever Given.
the Ever Given, which we need to that's a whole other discussion. What is this name, Ever Given? Like a fuck, a shit, about anything. What is this name? I don't know what this name is. Okay. So anyway, Ever Given, driving, riding. How do you say that? Operating, captaining,
sailing.
But anyway, my grandfather and I were on the houseboat, and we were sailing, we're riding, driving towards the Great South Bay. And right at the end of his little creek, this like Swan River Creek, the sand, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. is kind of like, it depends. You have to like hit it at the right time. And I remember feeling like, oh, shit, we're like running aground. And my grandpa like gave me all these instructions, and I was like helping him. And we basically like avoided this
Ever Given fiasco.
Yeah, we avoided our own Ever Given. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I like, when I learned about this or saw the memes, I instantly flashed back to like that time in my life, and I was like, oh yeah, I can feel the boat being pulled kind of into land, and wow. And then you're on the world stage and that's happening.
How embarrassing.
Sort of a post-traumatic boat disorder.
We need to start putting things up on the board, but I do want to start by not putting something up on the board. The moon. The moon, you get out of this one.
Why?
It was a full moon, okay. And so that raised the tides because right. somehow that happens, oh, which allowed right. them to free
allow
the
them
ship.
To get them out.
Okay, moon, you're getting the big clap.
Okay, clapping it out.
We didn't even tell Renee Lunar. what the big clap
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, she understands. She gets it. So first up, we got too big of a boat. Throw them up there. Ever Given ran aground after being caught in strong winds in a sandstorm. This is according to CNN. Poor visibility and made it difficult to navigate, according to the Suez Canal Authority. While the Suez Canal is wide enough under normal conditions, the bigger the vessel, the smaller the margin of error. Andrew Kinsey, a senior marine consultant at AGCS, told CNN, stacking containers higher on these ships also makes them more susceptible to strong winds, which may have been a factor in recent incidents when cargo has been lost during bad weather, he added. Shipping lines argue that ultra-large container vessels are more efficient and environmentally friendly when it comes to transporting large quantities of goods around the globe. But ultra-large container vessels have existed for many years and have sailed through the Suez Canal without issue. Now, waterways such as the Suez Canal are designed for these vessels' sizes. Almost 19,000 vessels transit the canal annually, or that's 50 a day. And there's only been 8 incidents a year over the past decade. Now, Larson acknowledged that, however, it can be challenging for very large container vessels to transit the Suez Canal. This is because the small distance between the ship and the bank of the canal causes waters to flow around the vessel in such a way that risks a momentary loss of steering, he explained. Yes.
No. Not acceptable.
Not Come acceptable. On. Transiting the Panama Canal, which is narrower. Panama Canal is narrower than the Suez Canal, but it's way more complex. But it takes place in a more controlled environment because the ship makes passage individually rather than in a convoy. So this is like a little caravan.
Okay. Yeah, that's the traffic jam problem that they have going there. Yeah. So my question is, this overloaded ship, hello, we're maxing it out. Are we getting greedy, green-eyed monster, evergreen?
Evergreed, more like evergreen.
I'm thinking evergreed. Thank you, Rebecca. Let's slap them on the old board. Right. They're trying to
get them up. I like it.
I like
greedy.
It.
Evergreed.
Get evergreedy.
Evergreen, you know, it's monster.
It's interesting because the company is called. What's confusing about it is the company's called Evergreen, but the ship is called Ever Given.
Right.
But we're just calling that duo Ever Greedy. Capitalism perhaps should go up on the board, and this brings me to 100%. One of our listener suggestions. Mm. This is from @Julie the Jules. who says the people's obsession with online shopping for things they don't need. It's going nuts and the imports are off the wall. I like how Julie is really incensed.
Me too. Julie, I'm with you, girl. I think, yeah, this is, maybe we should link this back to like Amazon. I don't know. Is this what's happening, right? We are getting products from halfway across the world when we could probably get them at the, you know, Big Bob's or whatever that's right down the road from you. But mm-hmm. rather than get up off our fat, lazy butts, we just say, no, I want it to come to my front doorstep. And maybe there's been an increase in shipping because of all that.
Totally.
Well, yeah. And also just like dependence on cheaper manufacturing from countries across the world.
Yeah. So like that global trading, it's a double-edged sword with global trading, which we should put up on the board. According to thebalance.com, international trade opens new markets and exposes countries to goods and services unavailable in their domestic economies. Trade agreements may boost exports and economic growth, but the competition they bring is often damaging to small domestic industries.
So it's 100%. I read something fascinating. Lawn gnomes, like those little guys you stick in your front lawn. So the BBC had an article about lawn gnomes and how there's an insane shortage due to this catastrophe in the canal.
Oh my God.
And people over the pandemic have been renovating their gardens and, you know, everything is looking lush back there. And they're really looking to just complete their garden with a lawn gnome. And they're up in arms because the lawn gnomes are not on the shelves. And it's a major problem. Okay.
Okay. This is amazing, Renee. Thank you for bringing that up. Now, how do we manufacture this so I can get a lawn gnome in the alarmist jail? Because that visual, I just love it so much. Or even just slapping a lawn gnome. Can we put lawn gnomes up on the board?
Well, I mean, the lawn gnome can be a symbol representing
online shopping. Totally. Totally. Lawn gnomes and our online shopping obsession.
And, okay. And it makes me want to start like a little potter community who are making local lawn gnomes.
What we're looking at here, what we're examining, I think, is international lawn gnomes or foreign lawn gnomes. That's the thing we're examining here. Because local lawn gnomes, we don't want to conflate the issue here. That's not what it's about. We like local lawn gnomes.
We like the locals. We're not sure of the international.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotten,
that's not, wait, this could get, gotten,
wait,
could,
this is
this
bad.
Could be not hold good.
On. Hold on. I take everything Rewind. I said
We're just going to lift out that quote. We're just going to have Amanda just edit out everything around just that quote.
Delete.
I'm going to put lawn gnomes that aren't locally sourced.
Good.
There we go. Perfect.
Now, we also have to put strong winds up on the board. This is according to the AP. Evergreen Marine Corps, a major Taiwan-based shipping company that operates the ship, said that the Ever Given had been overcome by strong winds as it entered the canal, something that Egyptian officials earlier said as well. High winds and a sandstorm plagued the area Tuesday with winds gusting 50 kilometers per hour, which is 30 miles per hour. An initial report suggested the ship suffered a power blackout before the incident, something that Bernhard Schulte, ship management, denied. Initial investigations rule out any mechanical or engine failure as a cause of the grounding, the company said. But The Guardian says that the weather was not calm. Not only was there wind of 30 miles per hour coming from the port quarter, the back left, but there was also a sandstorm. And Ever Given left her harbor and set off at 8 knots. Now, maybe you know this, Renee, what 8 knots mean. But no other ship veered through, though they were affected by the same wind. So this was the only ship that was affected and were steaming through the same canal water. The ship ahead, the Costco Galaxy, was as large as the Ever Given, but nothing happened to her. The other 19 ships in the convoy proceeded with no incident except for nearly ramming into each other. Yikes. It takes a mile or so to fully stop.
No. Well, I was going to say that about, you know, boating. It's not like you're in a car. You can't just slam on the brakes.
Yeah.
It's that strange thing of you actually have to throw it. I don't know if you guys, have you ever been on a boat where you have to throw it in reverse and like slam the gas? Mm. So you're giving it, and it's very counterintuitive because you're like, oh my God, am I going to crash into them? But no, you're slamming it in reverse and you're, you know, giving it
the boost.
Gas.
Yeah. So another thing we should put up on the board is something called squat effect or bank effect.
Okay.
Now, according to The Guardian, there's the water, right? So there's a water issue.
Right. I'm with you so far.
Canals may look calm, but their water can do strange things to big ships, causing complex hydrodynamics that can create suction, pulling a ship toward a bank or tipping up its bow. A squat effect can happen because, unlike at sea, the water in a canal has to stay put. It bunches up under the ship, the flow speeds up under the hull, and the pressure decreases, sucking the hull down into a vacuum. The squat happens when the bow is raised and the backside sinks. If a ship gets too close to a bank effect can take hold with equally perilous hydrodynamics. Speed, pressure, and suction pull the ship off course and can send her spinning. Overcorrection using the rudder can make things worse. The bank effect is so complicated, whole PhDs have been done on it. The bigger the ship, the more powerful the sucking.
I'm just going to go ahead and call bullshit. I don't think this is real.
The whirlpool.
I just don't think this is real.
The whirlpool effect. It's not. I'm just picturing this giant, like, swirling whirlpool that's sucking in this giant, also, boat that I don't. It's, first of all, it's weird. It's like how the ship is, like, what, 300 tons or something like that? 200 tons?
Yeah. 200,000.
Tons.
Oh my God. So should we not be creating these canals? Is this a problem? What are we doing? Are we fucking with the environment? Are we getting to a bigger question here? Are we displacing water? And it's, I mean, I don't know.
You're talking about colonialism is what you're talking about. Exactly.
It's worth thinking about.
Slap it up on the board.
But think about putting a freight, like, without the canal, the freight has to go all the way around South Africa.
True. Mm-hmm.
So that just is more, that just is more carbon emissions.
That's right? True. As a people, we love a shortcut. So
how can we not?
Shortcuts. I think we should put shortcuts on the board.
Yes, that's a great idea, Amanda.
I mean, I'm guilty of a shortcut. Hell yeah. I like a shortcut.
We all are. Yeah. And speaking of sort of shortcuts, you know, so the pilot is mandatory, but tugboats are not mandatory to use when traversing the canal. And apparently, the Ever Given forwent tugboats.
Oh, they're trying to cut costs. Again, these people are the greedy motherfuckers. They're shortcutting. They're greedy. They want their money. They don't want to pay the tugboat people. They should pay the tugboat people to guide them through these kind of tricky areas of the canal.
Indeed.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was cost, but I don't know why you would forgo. You know what it is? It's like foregoing the extra safety measure. It's like, okay, you need a pilot, and tugboats are recommended, but they're not necessary. And the two big boats that were ahead of the Ever Given had their tugboats.
Yep.
Everything was fine.
Yep.
And Ever Given didn't.
Ever Given.
So
Ever Given's cutting. They're cutting costs.
This is reminding me a little bit of when we did Halifax, which was a ship that had this big, there was an explosion, right, on the Halifax. And so the pilot, there's the pilots and then there's the captain. So should we put all of them on the board? Because the pilots are the ones, are they even like, they're provided by like the canal services?
Yeah, by the port.
And then the captain comes with the boat.
Yes. Yes, by the pilots come with the canal authority, and the captain is just the captain. The captain's always on a boat.
I didn't know the pilot was a thing on a boat.
I believe the captain was a female.
Okay.
Now, someone on that ship, either one of the pilots or the captain, was a female, and they tried to place the blame on whoever this female was. I thought it was one of the pilots. So that's an issue. A lot of people don't want to blame the pilot or the captain because they think that there were a lot of other issues, factors. Now, I don't want to not talk about this because there's some other bigger issues we need to talk about. It's not the first time that there's drama in the Suez. And I want to put that up on the board. Drama in the Suez.
It's not the first time that there's drama in the Suez.
Just sounds like a pop song.
Okay. Mental Flaws says, Egypt and Israel had a salty relationship in the mid-20th century. In 1967, a war broke out between the two and Israel captured the Sinai Peninsula next door.
Awkward.
In response, Egypt attempted to cripple the Israeli economy by blockading the Suez Canal with sunken ships, mines, and debris.
Bad guys. They did it
to themselves. Wow. Trapping, what it did was trap 14 unlucky foreign cargo ships in the canal for, get this, 8 years.
What? So were people just diving into the canal? Like, how are they living on the boat for, they're not living on the boat for 8 years.
Yes, 8 years.
Well, the boats are stuck there for 8 years, but people aren't.
No, let's read on. Marooned on the canal's Great Bitter Lake, now I understand the name. The ship, the ships, British, French, American, German, Swedish, Bulgarian, Polish, and Czechoslovakian, clustered in the middle of the lake like a wagon train awaiting an Indian attack. Reported the New York Times. Israel controlled the east bank of the canal. Egypt was the west. The sailors watched helplessly as both sides exchanged gunfire and rockets over their heads. We were in a very comfortable prison, Captain Marislo Proskierniki, sorry about that, of the Polish ship, Jakarta said. The first month was like a holiday. The second month was very hard. By the end of the third month, it was terrible.
Kind of like the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds super familiar.
Nothing to do besides clean the ship and do basic maintenance work, the boats puttered aimlessly around the Bitter Lake in an attempt to keep the engines well-tuned. With nowhere to go, the crews eventually set aside their homeland differences, moored together, and formed an unofficial micronation of sorts, calling themselves the Yellow Fleet, a reference to the windswept sand that piled on their decks. Each ship adopted a special duty to keep the, quote, country running smoothly. The Polish freighter served as a post office. The Brits hosted soccer matches. One ship served as a hospital. Another was a movie theater. On Sundays, the Germans hosted church services, and we called it church. Captain Wall told the Los Angeles Times, but actually it was more of a beer party.
So they took the crisis and they like bonded over it, which is kind of beautiful.
It is beautiful. I mean, I don't want to be there, but it's beautiful looking back.
That's crazy. Eight years. Yikes.
There was only, and I heard there was only one woman from what I read. All of them were men except that one woman, poor woman.
That's not a great ratio if you're a guy.
For her, I don't know. Depending on her preferences, she may have had a lot of fun.
Exactly.
Depending. Oh, yikes.
Now, we also, going back a little bit to, colonialism, I think we have to put Ferdinand de Lesseps.
De Lesseps. I just think it's that because there's a housewife.
Oh.
She knows. Amanda's got this.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I think he's the guy who orchestrated the building of the canal with the Egyptian government. And let's remember that, when the canal was built, they used, tens of thousands of peasants at forced labor. They were forced to.
Yeah, now that's just like a nice name for slavery, right? Are we just
I'd say so. I was reading that during the building of the Suez Canal, there were 120,000 deaths of the 1.5 million that worked on the canal. So 120,000 people died building this canal.
The Suez Canal Company, that's a thing, right? The Suez Canal Company?
Yes, they were the ones who operated the canal in, you know, after it was built for 99 mm-hmm. years.
Just a quick time check. Rebecca, is there anything else you want to put up on the board or Renee or Chris?
I'm good to go. How about everyone else?
I'm going to say capitalism is kind of our main culprit here. I think we've got the overloaded ship. I think that, you know, if we had a few less containers, also container ships do, just side note, freak me out because of the 11 years I've spent on the crime procedural that I know all of the bad shit that goes into those containers. No. And they put lots of stuff in those containers, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of dead bodies, but sadly.
Let me tell you.
Okay, so we're going to go on a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to start crossing things off the list.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Who is to blame for the ship stuck in the Suez Canal? Is it the Ever Given, too big of a boat? Ever greedy shipping company? Capitalism?
Ding, ding, ding.
Hang on, Renee. We know you're excited, but we have to go through this. We have a
process.
Is it the obsession with online shopping? Global trading? Lawn gnomes that are not locally sourced? Strong winds? The bank effect? Shortcuts? The Suez Canal pilots? The ever-given captain? No tugboats? Drama in the Suez? Colonialism? Or Ferdinand de Lesseps.
Wow. I thought this would be much easier, but now looking at the list, I'm like, what are we going to cross off?
Well, I'm going to throw another one up there that I actually, my brain remembered. The good old Industrial Revolution. Because I'll tell you, these canals were built right after they started manufacturing at a higher rate, you know, machines started replacing sort of workers, and we started shipping internationally. Like the whole world wanted to
bigger, faster, better.
So I mean, just the old Industrial Revolution.
I would say fashion industry too, but you know, it's more than that. It's bigger than that.
That's true.
So now we have another one to add to the list, and I just don't know what I'm going. I guess we could take drama in the Suez out first. Yeah, it just feels like everyone needs to chill out and like cut back on the drama on the Suez, you know?
I think that strong winds are probably, it's a major factor along with the overloaded ship.
I see. So perhaps we fold strong winds into the overloaded ship because let's be fair, strong winds have always been there, you know?
Like, we need to work with the strong winds. We can't just be like, winds, calm down for a bit. We've got bigger ships now.
Winds? What is, what is wind?
I don't know, Chris.
Amanda?
You fat,
is the ocean?
The, you're the fat. Go on your DuckDuckGo and tell us what wind is.
Ask the internet, what is wind?
Yeah, tell us.
It's God's farts, is what it is.
Oh my God.
Wind is the flow of gases on a large scale. See? Yeah, like but like, what is that? Like, what? How does it.
How does it start?
How does it start? Who started the wind?
Who started the wind? That's where we have
Mother
to go.
Mother Earth? What about folding Ferdinand or colonialism into Ferdinand de Lesseps?
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I feel like, if anything, he's more to blame for this particular Suez Canal situation than just general colonialism. I don't know. I go back and forth, but. Well, let's do that for now.
It's tough.
Yeah.
What about shortcuts? I love it, but maybe that can be taken off.
Yeah, only because the shortcuts in this case are actually really good. I mean,
it is good.
We're not saying canals are a bad idea. You know what I mean? Canals are a decent idea.
I mean, it's something
we're
like 2 weeks. It saves 2 weeks of travel time.
Around the horn. Yeah, we all want to save time. Come on. That's fine. I think it's just the execution of the, you know, canal sailing. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the lack of tugboats, I'm going to put a circle around that. I want to keep that. I think that is a major factor here. Mm-hmm.
And also, I think we can fold global trading into lawn gnomes.
Sure.
Because if we were buying locally more... then perhaps, you know, that would help.
Exactly. The lawn gnomes are representing that, that element there.
Yeah.
100.
Now, what about taking off the pilots and the captain? Because I don't know if we have enough information to really pin this on them.
I think so too, Amanda.
Truth be told. I like it.
So we still have a lot. We've got the Ever Given, too big for just being too big, which I like how Amanda pointed out that it's the opposite of Jaws.
Opposite of Jaws.
We need a smaller boat. We're going to need a smaller
boat. Because, Rebecca, you put too small of a boat, I believe, on the board for the Jaws episode. Oh. So I think you did.
Yes, that sounds like
me. I love
me.
That so
too
much.
Small. So what we've got, the boat. Okay, too big of a boat. Ever Greedy Shipping Company. Oh, that could fold into capitalism. The Ever Greedy.
Yeah.
That could fold into capitalism.
Sure.
Okay. And I would also say the Ever Given could fold into the Ever Greedy Shipping Co. because that's why the boat was too big. And then we could fold both of them into capitalism.
I agree. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now we have capitalism, obsession with online shopping, the lawn gnomes, the bank effect, no tugboats, Ferdinand de Lesseps, and the good old-fashioned industrial revolution. What are we going to do here, guys? Bank effect. It's not its fault. You know,
I don't believe it's real.
I think, look, okay. But I think it's not, the bank effect isn't, I get it. It might have actually caused the ship to lose control. But we got to work. You got to work with the canal size when it comes.
You got to work with the bank effect. And all the other ships knew how to work it.
You got to work with the wind. You got to work with the bank effect. Otherwise, take yourself down to the Cape of Hope.
Yes.
And
bullshit, don't blame it on the bank effect. Come on, don't bullshit me, bank effect. Get out of here.
Bye.
You're done.
Okay.
Bye.
So what, goodbye. I mean, obsession. Is it our fault? Is it our obsession with online shopping?
I think it's capitalism at large, right? I don't know. I feel like that's kind of the overall.
I mean, in a way,
Grim
we could
Reaper
fold
here.
Our obsession with online shopping into lawn gnomes, because if we were shopping locally, then we wouldn't need to be so, you know, all of this shipping. I mean, I'm a problem.
For sure. Oh, we all are. That's the thing. It's like we can all kind of hold up our hands and be like, yep, I've contributed to this. Yep. And I'm guilty. So we all are.
Okay. So that'll get folded in.
We've been conditioned.
How about Ferdinand? What are we going to do with Ferdinand? G-O-G-O-my.
I mean, he had the idea to create this canal, mm-hmm. right? And we said shortcuts are good. So we like Ferdinand because he created a shortcut.
I mean, look, would we have done it the way Ferdinand did it? No. If we were figuring out who's to blame for the building of the canal, then
right. That would be a I don't think we can put canals per se on the chopping block, right? It's not.
No, victim blame the canal.
Right. If you just weren't here, canal, no boat would have gotten stuck in you.
We wouldn't have this problem, exactly.
Also, be wider. Why couldn't you have been wider?
Come on, guys. Yeah, so we're down to 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, a classic. We're down to the classic four, mm-hmm. which are capitalism, lawn gnomes, no tugboats, and the good old fashioned industrial revolution.
Okay, oh, I'm gonna make a play here. I think we should put lawn gnomes that aren't locally sourced in jail, and I think we should put no tugboats, give it a big slap. And here's why. Okay. So I just think let's use this opportunity to it's really like an advertisement we're saying to people, guys. Source your stuff locally. If you have room in the backyard or if you have a window that gets a lot of sunlight, grow your own little herbs. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think herbs were the problem. Too much basil on the ship.
Go thrift store shopping.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Go use the farmer's market.
Yard sales. Love a good yard sale.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is not all the way... We don't need these foreign gnomes.
Okay. Here he comes again. Watch out.
Oh, no.
Whoopsie daisy. Yeah.
It's going to go in the Alarmist Hall of Fame.
Wow. I'm honored. I can't believe that I'm contributing in this way. Yes. I really am quite flattered.
Flushed. So, I mean, I'm going to call it. No tugboats. You're getting the big slap. Lawn gnomes, not locally sourced. You're going to the Alarmist jail. Yeah.
Damn, we did it.
Renee, I didn't even know that you were a boating, what do you call it when you're like a genius? Like you.
I'm a licensed boater. That's what we call it.
Okay.
Or I was when I was 14. I think that probably expired. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
It's just beautiful that you were able to be with us today and help us get to the bottom of who's to blame for the ship that got stuck on the Suez Canal.
I think we cracked it. I think it's going to the front page of the Times. And,
yep.
Front page of the Times, baby.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
After the release of the ship on the Suez Canal, according to the AP, blocking something like the Suez Canal, the effect is not only going to be the simple, immediate one with cargo being delayed over the next few weeks, but will actually have repercussions several months down the line for the supply chain. Overall, famed shipping journal Lloyd's List estimates each day the Suez Canal is closed disrupts over $9 billion worth of goods that should be passing through the waterway. Vote for who you think is to blame by going to thealarmistpodcast.com. Follow us at thealarmistthe on Twitter, at thealarmistpodcast on Instagram, or email us at thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Chinese massacre of 1871.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.